It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. We're going to start off today by reiterating a comment that was made earlier and a question that came in from Rick down in Aiken. And Augie over in Shevlin noticed the same thing. There have been flocks of geese flying north. And this is the molt migration. These birds are flying north to go through what is called an eclipse molt. The eclipse molt involves the loss of the flight feathers in a way that allows that prevents the bird from flying. So these geese, these unmated or maybe failed nesters, all get together and they fly north and they fly well into Canada, where they find private, quiet little spots, and they go through this eclipse molt, which involves the loss of flight feathers. So they are flightless for a couple of weeks while they regrow those feathers, and an area where there are fewer predators is one that is preferred. So if you happen to have noticed in the last week or so, or in the next week or so, the presence of these large flocks of geese heading north, it is a yearly occurrence, and it generally happens right around the 1st of June. So right on schedule for that one. They're one of the few that are right on schedule. There, most of the notes that I've been taking over the past weeks have all been a bit late. And one of the things that I saw, another thing that I saw that yesterday that put me on alert for another event that's about to take place, that takes place this year, or typically this time of year, is yesterday I was driving along and there was a painted turtle crossing the highway. And I suspected that it was a female. It was a fairly large turtle by painted turtle standards. And it was heading, you know, across the road and probably looking for a sandy spot in which to lay its eggs. And that's something else that happens right around the 1st of June every year. Although last year it was a cold spring and they were well into mid-June before they started moving around and really beginning to go out and lay their eggs. And I had some that didn't lay their eggs until almost the 1st of July last year. So we'll be watching the turtles to keep track of them. One of the things that I do, and you might wish to try this as well, especially if you are a long-term resident in a certain area and you have turtles that come to your yard to lay their eggs. Every year when the turtles show up at my house, if I happen to be there, I grasp them quickly, I turn them over, and I take a quick picture of their plastron, the bottom shell. And that plastron is as individual as your face. Those patterns on their plastrons are absolutely individual. And so over the years, I've gotten this big collection of these photographs, and as I go through them from year to year, I often find repeats. So some of the same females are coming back to the same area to lay their eggs every year, year in and year out. And I think that's a pattern that is well established. So I suspect that if you did the same thing, you would begin to realize that those turtles that you see in your yard this year are the same ones that were there last year. So check out the turtles, the painted turtles. And shortly after the painted turtles get out and start moving around, you're going to start to see the snapping turtles doing the same thing. Among other observations this past week, I had my first lilacs in bloom. I think it was the 29th of May, which was 9 days later than average. And they are still not at their peak of bloom. They're only just beginning to approach their peak, and they are quite late. There is a little purple forest flower with tiny, well, mid-sized green leaves. The flower is really quite interesting. It's magenta. It's not really purple. It's got more red in it than pure purple, but it is a very pretty little flower with a long protruding structure in the center that's fringed in white. And that flower is called polygala, fringed polygala, or it has some other names. Gay wings is another name that it's known by, but fringed polygala is just beginning to bloom, and oddly enough, it's only 4 days late. But the polygala is one of those plants that I think is when you start to get into June, by the time you get to plants that regularly bloom in June, you are looking at a lesser degree of variability. Those plants in May, those plants that normally bloom in May, have great variability over the years, depending on how May shapes up and how April shapes up. And this year, April was cold, and May has been, now we're in June, aren't we? So the end of May, it finally began to warm up a little bit, and things began to kind of pop out. In the bog, the leatherleaf are past their peak. I'm seeing little leatherleaf flowers laying on the bog surface, so the flowers are starting to drop off of the leatherleaf. The Labrador tea is budded and ready to flower, but has not yet begun to flower. It will probably be this week, I would expect. They're awfully kind of pregnant with promise out there, the Labrador tea, so check those out. And any bog you're driving by, any good acidic bog that you're driving by in these last few days, you're likely to be seeing bog laurel, which is a gorgeous pink little flower, just about the size of a nickel. I think you could probably lay a nickel on a bog laurel flower and cover it. So pink and tucked into the petals of the flower are these stamens, the male parts of the plant that contain the pollen, and they're tucked into these little pockets on the petals. And when an insect comes in and lands on that flower, those stamens are sprung loose from those little pockets, and they come up and they slap the insect on the back, which is a good spot to put pollen if you're hoping to move the pollen from one plant to the next. Because if that insect happens to be a bee, it's going, and the pollen is on its face or its body where it can reach it, it's going to scrape it off and save it and take it home. Which is not what the plant wants. The plant wants that pollen spread to other plants. So that will happen. And in this case, when it's on the back of the bee or the fly or whatever it happens to be, it can't be recovered. So it just kind of stays there until they get to the next plant, and then the pollination occurs, and that's kind of what they are hoping for. If you venture into the woods in the next couple of days, you're going to see the bluebead lily in bloom. And bluebead lily was, only 3 days late in terms of its blooming. So it blooms probably the 27th. Average would be about the 27th of May. This year it was about the 30th of May. Bluebead lily has lily-like leaves at the base, kind of broad, flat leaves that come out at the base. They're basal, and then a long stalk with the four or five bright yellow flowers that sort of open up and face downward. Those will be replaced by bright blue berries later on in the summer, and the whole plant is inedible. Contains a chemical called calcium oxalate, which is really a nasty chemical to get in your mouth. Won't kill you. I suppose it might if you ate enough of them and it caused your throat to swell shut, but even the tiniest bite of a bluebead lily berry is going to be very, very uncomfortable. You're going to want to get rid of it, and in a hurry. It's not going to stay in your mouth for very long. It's going to cause a lot of burning. Crab apples began to bloom this past week, and oddly enough, they are almost 2 weeks late. And wood anemone is blooming. The bright white, they're bracts, they're not actually petals of the flower. Flower is right in the center, but these bright white bracts of the wood anemone are quite prominent right now. Starflower began to bloom this past week, and starflower is a kind of an interesting flower in that it has 7 petals, not always, but the most common occurrence is seven petals, and nature doesn't do a lot of sevens, so you don't have a lot of plants with seven petals, but starflower is one of them, and the flower looks exactly like the name implies. It looks like a twinkling little star. They're about, half an inch across. You might cover it with a dime. And it's got a little yellow center, and the leaves are kind of long and pointed and sort of yellow-green. So check out starflower as well. Sarsaparilla is another plant that is not ready to... It is approaching bloom, but hasn't bloomed yet. And the leaves of the sarsaparilla look a lot like poison ivy leaves. They have, at this point, there are usually three of them. And if you are a careful observer, you'll see that the sarsaparilla leaves have myriad teeth along the edge. They look like a fine-toothed saw along the edge of the leaf. Poison ivy doesn't have that arrangement. Poison ivy has irregularly spaced teeth. There might be one or two on one side and none on the other. There might be five or six on one side and three or four on the other, but they're not regularly spaced. So you can tell the difference between them. And the sarsaparilla has a separate stalk that comes up from the same root, and it's a little ball-like structure with little tiny flowers at the ends of these tendrils that come out of this central location, and it forms almost a golf ball sized ball, well, ping pong sized ball of little white flowers when it blooms, and it's about to bloom very soon. Pardon me. Northern holly, winterberry, just beginning to leaf out this past week, one of the late ones when it comes to getting started. The other plant that you might be noticing, or other plants you might be noticing right now, are, let's see, the last week we talked, Juneberry had just begun to bloom, and Pincherry bloomed last Tuesday. Probably reached its peak of bloom, four or five days ago. And yesterday I noticed that the petals are starting to fall off of the Juneberries. The Juneberries are all, my Juneberries have all lost their petals already. The Pincherries are starting to lose their petals. And the next one to bloom is going to be Chokecherry. Now, Chokecherry here in Grand Rapids are budded up, but not yet blooming. And they might bloom today or tomorrow. Harvey Jader over in Bemidji had a posting of a picture of Chokecherry in full flower. And I'm not surprised. Bemidji, even though it's a little bit north of Grand Rapids, is quite a few miles west, and that gives it a little advantage. So the chokecherries are blooming out west, and they will soon be blooming here in the Grand Rapids area. And they have a cluster of flowers. Look at your thumb and think of it being covered in white flowers from top to, say, the base where it joins your hand. That's about the size of a cluster of chokecherry flowers, and that will be just covered in little white flowers when it breaks into bloom. And if you go on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page, you'll get a chance to see that. Couple other notes, blue-eyed grass is blooming in the west, out in Bemidji and Akeley. Dallas Hudson reported blue-eyed grass. Dallas also reported the Canada tiger swallowtail and monarch butterflies within a couple of days of each other. And Dallas and I and John Weber, who lives out in the Nevis country, have been watching these two butterflies for 30 years or more. And it turns out that the monarch, which is a migratory butterfly, and the Canada tiger swallowtail, that's that big black and yellow butterfly that you may have seen in the last couple of days flying about, that one emerges from chrysalis. And so you've got one that migrates to northern Minnesota and one that returns from, or hatches out from, a chrysalis. And they both arrive within a couple of days of each other consistently. Over 30 years, we've looked at them, and it's always a day or two one way or the other. First one and then the other. And so watch for the monarchs and the bright yellow and black Canada tiger swallowtails. They'll be along pretty quick. Mosquitoes are definitely out. I was out the other day and found that it was necessary to put on a long sleeve shirt. The Nighthawks are back and calling, and they were about 5 days late getting here, but they're here, and we're glad to have them. And there are a lot of other things going on. This is a big time of year for phenology, but I'll let you do some discovery on your own. And when you find something, get in touch with us. We love to hear what's happening in your neighborhood. Don't forget our KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page, and any observations you want to share with us there would be greatly received. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Tune in again next week and we'll do it all again.
You just tuned in. You can find Phenology later today or tomorrow at our website, kexe.org. Follow us on Twitter. We've got lots of folks talking Phenology there. And it's a great way to find out more about where you live or where you might be visiting. Welcome to all of you who are spending time at your cabins, where KEXE, KBXE might be part of the soundtrack of life up north. And we appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for supporting what you're listening to. Be a member now, KAXE.org. It'll help you enjoy your summer even more.